This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Coming, there's dancing tonight.
Shrimp boats is coming, there's dancing tonight.
They go to sea with the evening tide, and their women folk wave their goodbye. Look here, the shrimp boats is a-coming, there's dancing tonight.
Shrimp boats is a-coming,
oh, yeah.
There's dancing.
How about a little bit of Joe Stafford for you old-timers? And the shrimp boat song. Good morning. Welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am Paul Molloy. I like shrimp. And along with my buddy Big Ed Davis, thank you for joining us. It is Monday, May the 6th. And as usual, there is a lot going on. In a few minutes, we are going to be talking with Barbara Comstock. Remember her? She's a former U.S. Congresswoman from Virginia. She's now a senior advisor at a policy group, Baker Donaldson. And we're going to talk to her about the government's antitrust suit against tech giant Google. The DOJ calls Google an unfair monopoly. So stay tuned for that, just a few minutes. And a shocking new poll. Listen to this. It shows over 40% of Americans think we are going to have or could have another civil war in the next 5 years. Wow. We're going to give you the details on that. And five vulnerable Democrats now apparently see the light, and they're calling on Joe Biden to do something about the southern border before they lose their next election this November. We're going to tell you who they are, so stay tuned for that. And in our ultimate top 10, the top 10 best performing high school districts in America. So stay tuned for that towards the end of the show. Freedom Works. We are sponsored by Andrew's Master Barbershop for the best haircut in Tampa Bay. For men, I am telling you, make a beeline to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. It's in the Overcash Plaza on Overcash Drive, just north of State Road 580. They are open Tuesdays through Saturdays. Call first for your appointment, 727-733-3773. And if you have any kind of a need involving trees, ArborLife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's premier tree service. Whether you need trees removed, enhanced, stump grinding, if it has to do with a tree, call ArborLife today for a free estimate, 727-330-1999. So, I want to get to this survey, which I find to be very distressing, to say the least. A shocking new poll says that over 40% of Americans believe our country could be torn apart by another civil war in the next 5 years. Now, this is Rasmussen. This isn't some small-time survey group. Rasmussen conducted this telephone survey showing 41% of likely U.S. voters think a second civil war is on the horizon, with 16%, that's 16%, saying one in the next 5 years would be very likely. Now, on the other hand, 49% did not believe a civil war will occur within 5 years. And 20% of those responded that it's not likely at all. It also shows that this is a partisan issue. 37% of voters agree a civil war more likely if Joe Biden is reelected. 25% civil war if Donald Trump is elected. 30% said it would not make much difference, we'd go to war anyway, regardless of who the president is. Now, Republicans outnumber Democrats in terms of who thinks there might be a civil war. 54% of the Republicans. 54% of Republicans think we could have a civil war by 2029. That's a high number of Republicans. I don't know what to say about it, other than there's a lot of people I talk with that feel that we have enough people upset about what is going on that they would want to. You hear about some of these counties or even states talking about breaking away. We got a county in Louisiana, or a portion of a city, I should say, in Louisiana that wants to break away from the other part of the city. I don't remember the name of the, I'll have to look it up. They want to break away and have their own city because they feel that the other part is too liberal. And their side of the neighborhood is conservative, so they want to break away. And then you got Texas, which talks from time to time about breaking away from the other 49 states. So
I think if things keep going the way they are going, that's possible.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the misinformation and the fake news and people that really don't know what's going on and they just believe whatever they see on TikTok or the local news or how it's spewed out. You know, just like the immigrants, you got people that are calling them illegal aliens. They're not supposed to be here. They haven't come through the front door like they're supposed to. And then you've got people that are thinking, oh, well, they're just nice people looking for work. No, it's a big problem.
Yeah.
You know, when it's sucking up your city's economy, you know, and they're sleeping on the streets and the crime is going through the roof, it's a problem. But you keep thinking, oh, it's just people looking for work. You know, and when Trump tried to say, to let us know that some of these people that were going to come in were drug dealers and rapists and whatnot, not all of them, but some of them are. And look what Castro did down in Cuba. He just opened up his jails back then in the 80s and let them go.
Do you think straight thinking people are among those that would think a civil war might occur? Or do you think it's just people that are just on the fringe that think?
Fringe. Because listen, if something happens and somebody asks my opinion on it, I don't just take a side because it's a Republican or conservative side. I want to know more before I make a comment. I want to know both sides. Because sometimes I agree with the other side and sometimes I don't. But don't just do it because you are a conservative. So anything that comes out of their mouth is bad, vice versa.
But it's interesting that a high percentage of Republicans think there might be a civil war. Not that they would want to participate in it, but they think that it might occur. 54%.
Because of the animosity and the hate. All we keep hearing from Biden is he was going to reunite the country and there's going to be no hate. Look at the hate that is going on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, all you did was blame a man.
I've never seen it so bad.
You hated his Twitter account, and now it's like it's rampant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. We're going to change subjects and take our break here. When we come back, Barbara Comstock, she is a former congresswoman from Virginia, will join us. We're going to talk about the government's antitrust suit against tech giant Google. So stay tuned for that. Only the lonely,
only the lonely, only the lonely. Know the way I feel tonight.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hey, we are back, and delighted to have former U.S. Congresswoman Barbara Comstock join us. She is now a senior advisor at Baker Donaldson, and we're going to talk with Barbara about something that maybe a lot of you have not been following, but it's a very interesting and important case. The Department of Justice is suing Google and alleges that Google is trying to make its search engine the default on web browsers and is therefore maintaining an unfair monopolistic grip on the technology market. Barbara, welcome to Freedom Works.
Oh, good morning. Good to be with you.
Our pleasure to have you, Barbara. So, you know, I think about this particular case with the Department of Justice, and it reminds me years ago, remember when Internet Explorer was accused of trying to be the default browser? I think it was Netscape Nav. I'm going way back here, but there were two
sure.
search engines. You remember them? Netscape Navigator and Internet Explorer. And
oh, sure, yeah. No, and we used to hear those dial-ups that would,
yes,
take forever to connect.
Oh, I remember that funny little noise when they would dial up. You're right about that. So, so what's going on here with the Department of Justice and Google? I thought Google tended to be somewhat, I don't know, leaning towards the philosophy of a lot of Democrats and liberals with the way it portrayed certain things. Why is the DOJ going after Google?
Well, listen, this is, you know, something that really, it's sort of a populist, you know, from the left and the right, you know, people have gone after Google. So it's a new philosophy that has come from this, you know, antitrust philosophy that has gone away from the consumer welfare standard, which looks at economics and what is best for the consumer, instead goes on, you know, other concerns, that has gotten away from the policy that has really been in place since the Reagan administration. It was set by actually Judge Robert Bork, who sort of established this antitrust standard that was the consumer welfare standard. And Democratic and Republican administrations alike, whether it was Clinton or Obama or Reagan in both Bush administrations, really stuck with it. And it was only recently, actually during Trump and Biden administrations, that people have gotten away from this. So you have people from Matt Gaetz to Lena Khan and now the Justice Department kind of proposing these kind of theories where you get away from economic standards and instead go on these tangents. But really what the Justice Department is doing is saying, you know, we're going to punish big companies. And, you know, because, you know, they want to pick the winners and losers instead of the market.
Yes.
And in that kind of situation, consumers lose. And, you know, I think in this case, you know, the DOJ's claims aren't backed by facts or evidence of consumer harm. Because when you think about, you know, Google built the best search tool and keeps improving it. You know, back when they were first building Google, Yahoo was the dominant search engine, if you recall, and they even had an opportunity to buy Google. But along the way, too, Microsoft has Bing, and there's other competitors here, but Google has continued to build its tools. But also one of the things that the Justice Department has done is they've really defined the search tools very narrowly, because you think about how you find information online, and you do it in many ways. If you're shopping, you might go to Target or Walmart or Amazon. And so if you're looking for product searches, you don't necessarily go to Google or to Bing or any of those other general search engines. You go to, you know, I've got my dog here. If I'm looking for dog food, you know, I might go to a dog website.
Right.
So, you know, search is a very dynamic and changing area. Now when you have AI, it's also, you know, a really changing dynamic kind of area. So, you know, and if you're looking for travel, you don't necessarily go on to any of these general websites. You might go to, you know, a certain airline or, you know, Airbnb or whatever it is that you might have, or someplace where you have points or things like that. So they very narrowly defined the search market and then decided to be critical of Google. And, you know, people like Google because it's, you know, they have many choices in looking for search and information online, but people use Google because it's helpful. And even during the trial, they found that, you know, when you go on to Bing, I mean, I have Bing at my office, but you switch over to Google pretty quickly.
Yes.
And people, you know, you can still put these other search engines on your phone. You know,
right.
Even though that might be the default and people pay for it, these agreements aren't exclusive, and Bing and Yahoo also pay Apple to be featured on the phones. And, you know, many of us have multiple search engines on our phones.
Exactly.
That's common, and it's very easy to change your default.
You're so right about it. We're talking with Barbara Comstock. She's a former Republican U.S. Congresswoman from Virginia. And we're talking about the Google antitrust case. By the way, Barbara, it looks like closing arguments were set for Friday. I don't know where they stand now and when this case might be resolved. You know, the interesting thing about monopolies and the fear of monopolies. I remember Milton Friedman once said, the only entity that can create a monopoly is the federal government. And if you allow the free market to wend its way amongst consumers, you'll never have that problem, because you'll have all kinds of rivals that will pop up when they see a good thing. They want to be, you know, a part of it if they can. We'll make a better mousetrap for you. Just come over to our side, you know.
And well, that's what we know. And actually, this case is a judge-decided case, so it won't be a jury. So the judge decision could still take several months. And then, you know, if there is a decision against the company for any reason, which I don't think there should be, because I don't think it's, you know, as I've said, I think they have many competitors, and certainly the evidence, I think, has not been there that there's consumer harm. But then there would be a separate, decision there on a remedies phase, if so. But when you look at this wider search situation and how we do search, that's part of the dynamism of the whole search market, and how we use our, you know, computers and our phones and all the different ways we use them. I mean, you think about podcasts and what we're doing here, and think of, you know, do-it-yourself solutions start on YouTube now. So, I mean, everybody has changed this, and this is part of what Google and every other platform has to constantly be changing in this dynamic market, or you're going to, you know, it's a change or die environment in the tech market. We know that.
Yep.
I haven't taken a lot of business classes myself. I was in the government world, but what I know in the government world is that the government cannot predict these kind of futures any better. You know, I mean, people who are in these businesses have a difficult time of predicting it. I mean, Yahoo themselves, they were at once a $125 billion company at their height, and then they made decisions that caused others to eclipse them when people thought they were going to be the monopoly.
You're right.
So it is hard, you know, if you go and look over time, over the past 100 years, any company that was at the top, it is very difficult to stay at the top. And as we've become internationally competitive too, it becomes even more difficult. And Lina Khan and Jonathan Cantor at the Justice Department have this theory that our economy isn't as competitive as it used to be, when in fact I think it's even more competitive because, you know, internationally we have certainly China, you know, is our biggest competitors in these tech areas, and we need to make sure that, you know, our ecosystem, our competitive ecosystem, stays more competitive, and we don't have the government stifling the innovation that we know. If our companies are left to, you know, if the market picks these winners and losers, that's going to be better than the government doing it, because, you know, the government is never been good at that, as Milton Friedman and others have pointed out.
You know, you mentioned Lina Khan. She seems to be rather aggressive going after different companies all of a sudden, I've noticed, not just Google.
Recently she went after handbags.
Yeah. I mean, what's going on there? Why this aggressive posture all of a sudden? Do you understand why they're doing this? Is it have anything to do politically right now with something?
Well, it is a little bit inexplicable. I mean, the Wall Street Journal has highlighted her tenure really very well, because it's totally contrary to free market. But I think the recent opposition that she had in the situation of handbags, she didn't want some U.S. handbag companies to be able to merge and compete with some European handbag companies that are 8 times their size. So
yeah.
She is now stopping this merger here and hurting U.S. companies so they can't compete internationally. And that kind of shows you her philosophy really is big is bad. And,
yeah,
you know, she's gone after Amazon since she was a student. You know, she wrote, you know, a thesis or a paper on it. She worked on Capitol Hill for House Democrats and went after Amazon, and then when she became chair chairman, Jim Jordan and his committee has written a very good report on Lina Khan about how she has sort of isolated all the power of the FTC within her office instead of using her expert staff that have the economic, you know, and do the economic analysis and really have that expertise, and instead of using that, she's instead sort of isolated the power within her office, sort of this I alone can fix it mentality that really, you know, as somebody who represented federal employees when I was in Congress, that's not the way we like to see anybody come in and do it. That's not the way you're supposed to treat the federal employees. And she has been one of the most egregious offenders on that front. And I know when Republicans did that, we were very critical of it. So I've certainly been critical of her doing the same. And recently, Chairman Jordan's report really highlighted that well.
Mm-hmm. Finally, Barbara Comstock, let me ask you, we mentioned the district judge, Amit Mehta, who will now make the decision. And you seem to feel that it's probably going to go Google's way. They won't have...
Well, no, I would never make predictions with
okay.
judges. I'm saying, in my opinion, I feel like, you know, this is a company that has many competitors, and, I believe they, you know, acquitted themselves well in the case, but obviously No, whether it's, you know, in any case, I will never predict how it okay. would go. I would be loath to do that.
Sure.
Because that is, you know, those are...
You're always, hopeful.
Yeah. Well, I do feel, but I feel like the argument that the company made, and because of the open yeah. competition that is in this area, I think, you know, it would not be good for U.S. competition or for our businesses, and then how would you do a remedy?
I mean, right.
These companies work so well for us, and you just think about how you do your searches online. I mean, just things like, you know, when you do ads online and small businesses doing ads, that has brought the cost of advertising down by 40% since, I think it's 2010. I know when I was in the business of having to advertise as a candidate, it was much easier to use, you know, online advertising and target advertising that way than have to use TV in an expensive market like I was in, or other means that the prices have gone up much higher. And so this is something where, you know, new online tools that we have are much more efficient, certainly for small businesses. They know how much better this is. So this is but it's also very dynamic and changing, which is why this case is so backward looking by the government.
Yeah.
They are talking about these, you know, that Google is shutting out competition, when in fact this is such a competitive and changing market. As I said, you know, when you're shopping, most people don't start on
That's
Google.
Right.
If you're shopping, if you're doing, you know, or people,
we have all these niche companies we go to right away.
I mean, TikTok. Well, I mean, you know, TikTok may be banned, but you know, so many people go on Instagram first. So if you're going
right.
to get, you know, how do you get that audience? There's ads on Instagram now, podcasts, ChatGPT, and the future of AI.
Yeah,
all these companies now have to think, how do we catch the audience? And that is a challenge for everybody in all kinds of markets. And Google is in the same boat.
Yeah.
Obviously, Amazon is, Apple is, and all of these companies compete with each other.
So, indeed. You
know, but the irony is that whether it's Lena Khan or Jonathan Cantor, they call all of these companies that compete with each other monopolies.
Yeah, that's crazy. Barbara Comstock, it was a real delight to have you on. Keep up your good efforts, and perhaps down the road, if we're lucky, we'll talk again.
Hey, take care.
Thank you, Barbara. Okay, Barbara Comstock, we're going to take our break. And when we come back, five vulnerable Democrats now apparently see the light. They're willing. They're calling on Joe Biden to do something about the southern border. Wow. We'll tell you who they are.
I see trouble on the way.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Men, you probably know my all-time favorite haircutter is Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin. But let me tell you why. Andrew Ceresi has been cutting hair for over 50 years. His family-run shop has been in Dunedin for close to 40 years, and his two great associates, Candy and Christine, total 55 years of haircutting experience. That's why I guarantee a great haircut at Andrew's Master Barbershop. It's located on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, men. 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
Arborlife Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced, ISA certified, and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
back. So I guess the trial of Donald Trump in New York continues. Here's the latest. The judge, his name is Juan Merchan, today said he'll consider a jail sentence for the Donald if he continues to violate the gag order imposed upon him. I don't think he's going to throw a good old Donald Trump in jail. I mean, come on. I think Donald Trump could pretty much say anything he wants, and they're not going to throw him in jail. They might try and continue to fine him. Anyway, Merchan imposed a gag order on Trump, ordering him to never make public statements about witnesses or the jury. I haven't heard him talk too much about that. I've heard him talk about how the whole case stinks. And, you know, there's no reason he should be in court. He should be out there on the campaign trail. Anyway, the trial resumes today. As you know, Trump has pled not guilty. Apparently, there are 34 counts all revolving around Stormy Daniels and supposedly falsifying business records. What does New York District Court have to do with that? I just don't understand any of this at all. Even the federal courts tossed this thing.
Though he's not on the trail, he's in the campaign trail much, he's still making news and keeping his form. And I think he was in Miami over the weekend for the car race. And I meant to pull the audio, but evidently Joe Biden was speaking with somebody in the media department. One of the channels and was complaining that on one of his visits that kids, what parents are teaching their kids these days, the little kid was holding up a Trump sign and at the same time giving him the finger.
and there you
and
go.
Saying, well, at least and you... saying F Joe Biden.
Oh, boy. that's pretty. There you go. Joe's not catching a lot of breaks. I think he was back home, wasn't he, over the weekend? Joe's not doing a lot of campaigning.
Didn't go far.
He's just not doing nothing.
I saw where they're going to dummy him down, if that's possible, to where less is more.
Yeah. So who do we got?
We have Andrew.
We have Andrew, the master barber. Andrew, how are you?
I'm living the dream, Paul. How about you,
I'm
buddy?
Delighted to hear that. We're doing very, very well. What would you like to talk about? You want to talk about the trial with Trump? Do you want to talk about the possible vice presidential candidate race? You want to talk about anything else? What's going on?
Well, Paul, vice presidential, I'm still going with Ron.
Ron DeSantis.
I really play out Christy Gnome's out of the picture. After what she was talking about yesterday between the dog and... talking with the world leaders and a bunch of baloney. She's out of it.
You think Kristi Noem, the South Dakota governor, has talked her way out of the vice presidential race?
I think it's
going to
be Ron. I think it's going to be Ron, the least talked about person.
Well, that would be a shock to me, a big shock. I'm going with Tim Scott. He's very... I noticed Tim Scott is all over the place. I think he was on a couple of talk shows over the weekend, some of these major talk shows. But I don't know. It's really getting kind of weird. There's a story. Maybe you'd like to comment on it, if I can find it here. And it has to do with the other trial that Trump might be going through regarding...
in Miami.
In
there,
Florida.
Sure.
Yeah, let me see
here. The judge, they tampered with evidence.
Yeah,
Paul.
That's it. Here it is.
They need to throw that right out.
Trump is calling for Jack Smith, the special counsel in that ongoing case with documents. He's calling for Jack Smith to be arrested after the prosecutor's handling of the classified documents case. They now admit that the seized documents are no longer in their original order and sequence. Here's what Trump had to say. Quote, now deranged Jack has admitted in a filing in front of Judge Cannon to what I've been saying happened since the illegal raid on my home. He and his team committed blatant evidence tampering by mishandling the very boxes they used as a pretext to bring this fake case. He says this is a witch hunt, needs to be dropped immediately, and the boxes, hoaxes. MAGA 2024.
You know, Paul, they keep pushing this stuff, and it's ridiculous what's going on. You know, we got a presidential election coming up. Let it go. You got this moron judge in New York, okay? Puerto Rican descent. Let's face it. It used to be the Puerto Ricans hated Trump. If you remember when the hurricane came in, this guy is nothing but a Democrat. His daughter works for the Democrat Party. It's a bunch of bogus baloney. I do not understand why our higher people in government are not doing anything about these court cases.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, I believe Congress can get these cases thrown out of court.
I think they're going to be. I think it's an easy win for Trump on appeal.
But why go through all this appeal?
Well,
because it's wasting money. It's wasting money. There's nothing there. I believe that our higher people in government should be destroying this thing right now, getting it over. Let's get on with this election.
You know, these people that have the hate for the Donald, I would challenge them because you know they. Some of them just say, "Well, throw him in jail anyway." I challenge him to describe exactly what he's being charged with.
You can't.
I mean, frivolous thing. I mean, look what happened in Georgia. I mean, now we've got news entities going to the boy from a Fat Fanny, putting him out in the local news at night with a news special and getting his point of view. Point of view what? He lied. He messed around with her and he lied. And he said, well, screwing around in the workplace, that's just like American pie, apple pie. Come on.
It's getting disgusting what's going on. They're dragging it out purposely. It needs to be done with. Let's move on with this election and get this country straightened out. Everything that's going on, they're forgetting everything that's going on. They got these kids protesting. Look at them at their college commencements, waving Palestinian flags. Come on. You know, Palestine was given to the Palestinian people years and years ago. They never had a country.
By the way,
now all of a sudden they want the world?
By the way, I got a story here about the Biden administration has put a hold on shipping ammo to Israel for the first time since the October 7th Hamas terror attack. Apparently the weapons shipment was stopped last week, leaving officials within the Israeli government scrambling to understand why. So, I mean, Biden, of course, talks out of both sides of his mouth. He's really been doing it when it comes to all of this.
Well, you know, Paul, if you look at it logically, he's going for the votes. Now, let's face the fact. He's got the Jewish American vote no matter what.
They're going to
vote for him, but they're going to no matter what. I know what you're saying. I agree with you. But he has that. Now he's going to get the Arab vote. He's going to get the Arabs and the Jews.
Well, one of the Michigan has a high percentage of, I guess you might say, Arab Americans.
That's right.
And apparently that's a very vulnerable state for him. And this is one of the reasons why he's been talking out of both sides of his mouth when it comes to Israel, Hamas, and the Palestinians. He just doesn't seem to have the backbone to stand up and say, look, Israel was attacked. 1,200 people were killed. 30 Americans were taken hostage. They're probably, we have a bad chance of getting them back. Why doesn't he talk like that? People would respect him.
When we went into Afghanistan after looking for bin Laden after 9/11, and we killed innocent people there. We did. But
unfortunately, it's going to
happen. Too bad, get out of the way.
War is terrible.
It does not matter, get out of the way.
Yeah.
George Bush said it made it clear, if you're not with us, you're against us.
Biden does not have to worry about the Israeli Jews voting for him, period. So by him being two-faced, he's not as stupid as he's acting. Okay? He's going to get the Arabs and the American Jews.
I'm going to be very interested to see what percentage of American Jews vote for Joe Biden, if we have any way of figuring it out this year.
I wish they would do a poll on it. Let's start calling the Jewish people and see what they're going to vote for.
Yeah, well, I would be very surprised if there's a huge turnaround there with Jewish votes.
Whatever he's trying to do now, you can't reverse. Listen, you can't reverse. You can't just come out and say, Okay, I agree with you, people, from the river to the sea. You can't come out and say that. But you can left-handedly say, well, maybe we should, maybe they shouldn't be doing this. The damage has been done. And unless you do a hard left turn and say, you know, and make those comments, that it's going to take those people a long time to forget what he's done. And he's only got 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
You know, look what happens in the past. We tend to forget about it. When the new crisis arrives, and that goes to the front of the, it goes from the border and what's going on there. Now we don't hear about the border because now we've got protests in the schools. Mm-hmm. So we're not thinking about the border. But and that's one way that they got people off of the border problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you got to realize that what's going on is part of the border problem.
It's
all tied in together, what's happening.
You know, I don't think we've seen a 100th of the effects of what's going to happen with the border in the next year or two. With the loot, once their money is cut off, those people are going to be very upset when their aid is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're being
deported. That's when all the crime will come in. That's when all the crime will come in, all the riots, the burning of the cities, and and you know, it's all on the Democrats' shoulders. There's no question about it. But as far as the Jewish people are concerned, look at what happened in Nazi Germany in World War II, and they came here and they still vote liberal. So matter what Biden does, they're going to vote for him.
Wow. This is a different...
I just can't... I think there's going to be a huge change.
I
hope so.
I mean...
But my Jewish customers are telling me, Andrew, my friends are still going to vote for Biden.
It's hard to believe that they would. I just don't understand.
There's no question about
it. Yeah. No, they've been entrenched in the Democratic Party.
New York keeps electing Democratic governors, you know?
Yeah. It's always a pleasure, Andrew. Thank you so very much, my friend.
All right. You guys have a good day.
All right, buddy. We'll talk with you.
Take care.
All right. All righty, then. We're going to take our final break. And I promise we are going to get to that story about the five vulnerable Democrats who are calling on Biden to do something about that southern border.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Arbor Life Tree Service is Tampa Bay's finest tree service company. From trimming, pruning, fertilizing, to grinding and removal, you get an experienced ISA certified and veteran owned firm that can do any tree job, large or small. With our fully equipped fleet and trained crew members, we care for trees of all sizes, whether you're government, contractor, business, or homeowner. Don't trust just anyone with a chainsaw. Call Arbor Life Tree Service at 727-330-1999 for a quick and free estimate. That's 727-330-1999. Arbor Life Tree Service. They go out on a limb for you.
You know, years ago, I used to go to one of those haircutting chains. I never got the same person twice, and the price was a moving target. I've been going to Andrew's Master Barbershop in Dunedin now for over 8 years. I've never been disappointed, and I get a great price. Andrew's Master Barbershop, it's not a chain. They've been cutting men's hair in Dunedin for close to 40 years. So give them a try, men. You won't be disappointed. Andrew's Master Barbershop on Overcash Drive, just north of 580 Main Street in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They're open Tuesday through Saturday, so call for your appointment, 727-733-3773. That's 727-733-3773. Andrew's Master Barbershop.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Back on a Monday. I hope you're having a good start of your week. By the way, Freedom Works comes to you 10 to 11 a.m. 3 days a week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday on the Tantalk Radio Network. Always glad when you find time to listen to us. But if you're busy, and we know you can be, thanks to Big Ed, you can go to our website anytime, day or night. Click on OurFreedomWorks.com. O-U-R, OurFreedomWorks.com. Look for the podcast button at the top, and Ed puts all our shows up there. Most recent show will be at the top. You'll see who the guest is and the topic with the guest and the top 10. Just go to the OurFreedomWorks.com website. All right, so five vulnerable Democrats who voted against measures to strengthen the southern border have seemingly changed their tune as November creeps up on them and they're up for election. Here are the five: Jared Golden of Maine, Marie Glusenkamp Perez of Washington, Mary Peltola of Alaska, Vincente Gonzalez of Texas, and Don Davis of North Carolina. They all released a joint statement agreeing with calls for Congress and the president to, quote, act and bring order to the southern border, unquote. Of course, they weren't talking like this a year ago. But now that the election is creeping up, they've changed their tune. They go on to say, beyond defending our allies, we strongly agree with the National Border Patrol Council that Congress and the president must act and bring order to the southern border. That is why we also voted for H.R. 3602 on Saturday, and why we all voted last month for a $19.6 billion Border Patrol funding so that it could ramp up its efforts to secure the border. All right. Well, nice of you to finally join the pack. But where were you all of these years that Biden was allowing millions of people to cross over the border? You weren't saying very much at that point at all.
You know who else has changed his tune and has been very vocal lately? Is Fetterman.
Yes.
In Pennsylvania.
You notice he's a lot more clear-headed, by the way.
I was going to say, were we being punked or something just so he could get in office? I mean, there's a man who couldn't form a sentence.
I know.
I mean, the only person worse than Biden was him to listen to.
I think he was still getting over that stroke.
What do they call that? Rope-a-dope?
Yeah,
whatever. Maybe he was rope-a-doping us. You know?
I think he was still getting over the stroke.
Now he sounds really like an absolute scholar. He still dresses like a slob.
He almost sounds like he's a conservative sometimes.
I know. It makes me want to vote for him, for crying out loud.
I know what you're talking about. One final quick story. Did you know that the president of ABC News, a black woman, has been kicked off the job? Corporate restructuring. Her name is Kim Godwin. Of course, ABC is very liberal. Apparently, she was not making any friends amongst the staff at ABC News. They've called her somebody that kind of took her hands off the steering wheel.
Yeah.
They have not named a successor. The retirement, they call it. She was forced out. But a retirement after a restructuring that gave her new boss, Deborah O'Connell, the power. And O'Connell is now going to take over the news section of ABC while they look for a replacement.
You know, nothing in that story surprises me other than the fact that they had to mention the color of her skin.
Yeah.
But that's one of the reasons she probably got the job. In this industry, in radio, and I've met TV and radio, where the host talent supposedly... they're just whiny little babies, and mommy and daddy's given them everything, and they're just jerks.
Yeah.
You know, and you just don't want to work with them.
They don't know how to handle...
And they treat you like crap, you know?
Exactly.
There's another word I want to use, but
I think the less secure you are, the more you look down on people.
And they're always looking over their shoulder, you know, worried about their job.
I think you're right about that. Okay, and before we get to our top 10, which is a good one, our vaunted Tampa Bay Rays are starting to play some better baseball. What's going on there?
Well, like your Chicago White Sox, to get to the World Series, you just need to play the Rays every week. It seems that the Rays just need to play the Mets every week because they swept them over the weekend. Right after they've been kicked to the curb, they come back and win three in a row. Now the problem is the White Sox, who swept them last week, and will be at the top for a three-game series.
Oh, boy, that'll be a good one. Who is, in your opinion, is the best team in baseball right now? Is there one particular team that stands out?
Well, I think the Yankees are up there.
Okay.
It's too early to tell.
Yeah, I know
it is. It's way too early.
Way too early. I just thought maybe...
I mean, injuries are going to start coming up here and there.
Okay.
So.
All right, then. Here, on to our top 10. Ed's going to move over to the drums. This is from Nish. N-I-C-H-E, niche.com. These are the top 10 best-performing high school districts in America in 2024. So without further ado, let's find out who they are. Number 10. It's Radnor Township School District in Wayne, Pennsylvania. There are five high schools in the district with about 3,600 students. All right. Number nine, Roslyn Union Free School. I guess it's called the Roslyn Union Free School District in Roslyn, New York. Five schools make up that district. 3,300 students. Number eight, Ladue School District, St. Louis, Missouri. All right, for St. Louis. Eight schools in the system, 4,440 students. Number seven, South Texas Independent School District. This is in Mercedes, Texas. I don't even know where that is. Well, it's in South Texas. They've got seven schools in their system with 4,400 students. Number six, Jericho Union Free School District. Jericho, New York. Do you know where Jericho, New York is?
Yeah.
Where is it?
New York, Long Island.
Oh, Long Island. Very good. So they've got five schools in their district, 3,236 students. Number five, Township District 113, Highland Park, Illinois. That's north of Chicago towards Wisconsin. Two schools in the district, 3,200 students. Number four, I think it's pronounced Eanes, E-A-N-E-S. Eanes Independent School District, Austin, Texas. 10 schools, 7,733 students. Number three, back to Illinois, Evanston Township High School District. That's where Northwestern is, by the way, in Evanston. I used to work in that town. Two schools in the district, 3,700 students there. All right. Number two, staying in Illinois, Glenbrook High School District 225. That's in Glenview. That's a northern suburb of Chicago. Four schools are in the district, 5,100 students. All right. And the number one school district in the United States is in Illinois.
Wow.
Lincolnshire, Illinois. It's the Adlai Stevenson High School District 125. Hats off to Adlai Stevenson. They have two schools in the district, 4,489 students. And I'm very proud to tell you that the top three school districts are all in Illinois. Wow. If you can believe this particular ranking. So there you go. Maybe there's hope. I was hoping there might be a district in Florida, but not yet.
Well, we were on sports and we had to run real quick. I was going to tell you that last night, I guess there was the roast of Tom Brady.
Yes.
And you know when a roast is comedians and friends.
You poke fun at that.
Well, a lot of fun.
At the guest.
Yeah. Evidently got out of hand.
Oh, really?
I don't know the name of the guy that did it. He said some off-color joke.
Uh-oh.
About Robert Kraft, the owner of the Patriots.
Right.
And evidently Tom got out of his chair, walked up to him, whispered in his ears, don't ever say that again.
Oh, no kidding.
So I don't know what it was.
Wow.
But going to tell you, I'll see if I can pull it this week. And
Tom Brady is protective, I think, of
yeah, his family's very close on that. Yeah.
Yeah.
He considers.
I don't blame him. He had a great run in New England.
I mean, you can make fun of certain things, but
you have to be careful.
Yeah.
Remember that famous slap in the Oscars?
Oh, yeah, with Will Smith.
And, Will Smith cracking that other guy.
Chris Rock.
The slap, Chris Rock.
Yeah.
The slap heard around
the world. I saw that live. I couldn't believe it.
I couldn't
believe it. I thought it was staged.
I couldn't believe it. I know.
My wife's name.
Oh, my God. All right. Thanks so much for listening, my friends. We will be back on Wednesday. Meantime, remember, freedom works.
WTAN Clearwater
FM 106.1
WDCF Dade City
FM 102.3
Listen.